Okay, motion carries. On to next order of business is the report. And the first report is Finance Officer Krista.
Raw fish tax for December was zero. Sales tax revenue was $44,715.17. There's a report there. Did anybody have any questions on the report?
Okay, thanks, Krista. Any questions for Krista? All right, thank you, Krista. Hearing none, we'll go on to the next report. It is by Eats, Paul Mueller.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. I'm going to keep mine brief tonight and just focus on the vaccine and vaccine deployment. I'm really proud to say how well it is going in Sandpoint. As of Friday at noon, we had 169 first doses administered, and we have 80 people scheduled tomorrow in the clinic for 80 first doses. And we are taking anyone 18 and over. So if anybody is not aware of that, please have them call the clinic, have them get an appointment. We'll get them scheduled to get their first and then the subsequent second dose in 4 weeks with the Moderna vaccine. We're still performing, of course, COVID testing. That has dropped a little bit over the last couple weeks. We did 20 COVID tests last week. But when you take that collectively with everybody following the social bubble guidance, social distancing, face mask, hand hygiene, and social distancing coupled with the vaccine being deployed, I believe we're going to start seeing the numbers lower and lower throughout the state, throughout the country. But we're definitely not out of this at this point. Remember, the vaccine protects you from becoming critically ill with COVID illnesses. It doesn't prevent the spread of the virus right now. So we need to do all of the things I just mentioned to help lower the chance of this virus mutating again and again and protecting each other and our communities. Other than that, I really don't have anything else to add tonight. My focus in the last 6 weeks has been the vaccine, getting it throughout the region. But I will take questions, Mayor.
All right. Thanks, Paul. Any questions? Mr. Mueller? All right.
It's okay. Alan.
Go ahead, Alan.
It's not a question, just a comment. I just want to thank Paul for, you know, working so hard to get so many doses out into our community. I'm sure that was no small task, and I just want to say thank you. Thank you very much, Paul.
Alan, I'm going to take that. You're welcome. I'm going to say you're welcome, but the thanks really goes to so many people on my team. You know, between the providers that are getting the injections into the arms to a lot of the folks in Anchorage, Susan Bailey out in King Cove, our vaccine coordinator here in Anchorage as well. Everyone's just coming together, and in the communities coming down to the clinic to get it. We, you know, when I ran some initial numbers in the beginning in November, December, we had a lot of vaccine hesitancy, but I've seen that, you know, wane away. It's slowly drifting away, and people are coming in. So I'm so proud of every community standpoint, especially with those numbers of 169 first doses for 18 and over, and 80 scheduled for tomorrow. So, again, spread the word that if anybody hasn't gotten the vaccine, is interested, have them call the clinic. And thank you.
All right. Thank you, Alan. Thank you, Paul. Any other comments, questions for Paul? Okay. Hearing none. Thank you, Paul, for all your hard work. Again, there.
Thank you, Mayor. Thank you for everything you're doing down there. You're keeping everybody safe. I really appreciate it.
All right. Thanks. Okay, on to the next report is by the Aleutians East Borough School District, Patrick Mayer. Are you there, Patrick? Maybe Patrick's not on, so... on to the next report is the administrator's report. Jordan Keeler. You have the floor, Jordan.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Good evening, Council. A couple things to add to this report, a couple updates. The bank was unable to get us the details of the financing proposition in time for the meeting. They've been swamped with PPP applications, and then we also are somewhat unconventional in the way we're going for financing. We're not a small business, so it takes them a little bit more time. Touching on the CARES Act funding, as you know, the CARES Act funding was extended through September 30th of this year, and we have about $94,000 left over. So what the plan right now is to continue spending as is, putting it towards some water and sewer items, and then using the rest for salary reimbursement. Around town, you might have noticed the notice of land disposal. GCI needs access to city-owned right-of-ways to run their fiber line from the landing spot up to their communication tower. So because we are giving away an interest in public property, we have to go through a notice period as well as a disposal ordinance. So we'll have the first hearing for that ordinance next month. With the earthquake and the fault that continues from it, the state has indicated that they are not going to cover damage to the new dock, and they're only going to cover about $200,000 in earthquake-specific damage to the old dock. Our insurance deductible for a seismic event is $100,000. So, we discussed earlier today, and I wasn't quite clear on what direction council wanted me to take. But just looking at the numbers, it's pretty steep to invest $100,000 into the old dock with no guarantee that it will be usable at the end of it. And then we're also going to have to spend roughly $60,000 to $65,000 out of pocket on the new dock. So the insurance companies would like an answer as well as the state. So I'd like direction from council on how to answer the state and the insurance company on that.
For council, were we against that or for putting the money into the old dock at this time?
It's Jack here, but I don't see where we have the funds to lay out a bunch of money right now. It's kind of shocking to see the state won't help stop for a disaster like that, but
I guess that's the way it is. Thanks,
Jack. No, any Alan other? Here. That was my feeling, is that we just don't have the money right now to invest in, trying to save the old dock. It's heartbreaking, but, the honest truth is we don't have the money. And our priorities are elsewhere. This travel lift's too important. So my opinion is let's just focus on the new dock, spend the money there. And, honestly, we're not getting that much from the insurance company anyway. So they're not really willing to help us out. Heartbreaking that there isn't any relief for a community that was rocked by such a violent earthquake that, anyway, that's all.
All right. Thanks, Alan. Any other comments there?
All right. So I'll notify the insurance company tomorrow in writing that we are not going to be filing a claim, and I will update that with the state as well. And just one more thing, it's time for your annual financial disclosure statement. So that's coming from Shannon. So please fill those out and return them to Shannon. It's a state requirement, so we can't really dodge it. And that's all I have right now. There's a couple of things further down in the agenda we can go over, but that's all in my report for now.
All right. Thanks, Jordan. Any questions or comments for Jordan? All right. Hearing none. We'll move on to the next report, which is the Department of Public Safety, Police Chief Dave Anderson. You there, Dave?
Good evening. Yes, I am. Can everybody hear me?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So before you see, as per usual, the breakdown of our activity over the month of January, you see our calls for service as well as our self-initiated contacts there and the breakdown that happened over the month of January. January is a pretty average month, fairly quiet. It's pretty much what we've seen in the past. Everything's going well as far as the department and a whole lot of personnel are all doing well and coming right along. I would like to, what's one thing we don't do very often is recognize our 911 dispatchers. Those folks are always there for us, and we really appreciate the job they do, as well as the folks that volunteer and come in and jail guard for us in a moment's notice, and the administrative staff that spin all the plates and make all that happen and put all the stuff together so we can do our jobs here. Sandpoint is a unique community and unique needs. It's a cool place to work for a cop. I can tell you I've enjoyed all my time here, and all the guys that are here working are really appreciative of the organizations they work for and look forward to coming to work. I'd like to thank the community for communicating with us and approaching us with their concerns and letting us know about any problems they have. We appreciate hearing them, and we act on them to the best we can lawfully to do so. We've been very active in working with other agencies, including the Anchorage Task Force at the airport, Investigator Cash with Sandpoint PD, and we're supporting him out there. He's been very busy working various operations and been very successful, and I'll have more information as time goes on for that. With that, that's pretty much all I have for the police department, and I can take any questions anybody has at this point.
All right, thanks, Dave. Any questions for Dave? Comments?
This is Shirley. I have a question.
Go ahead,
yes,
Shirley.
Ma'am.
I didn't realize that we in Sandpoint could not reach 911 on a cell phone. And a lot of people don't have house phones at home. So that kind of concerns me.
You should be able to hook into 911 unless there's an atmospheric problem with your cell phone. It should work.
A lot of people have told me that it does not work. It doesn't go anywhere when you do 911 on a cell phone.
There are times that is true. It works about the same as any cell phone on the island. Whenever you try and use it, it works. For me, it works about half the time. But you are right. If the conditions are right, you can use your cell phone. Sometimes it works on the island, sometimes it doesn't. Whether it's 911 or any number, it's supposed to work, but it's a cell phone in the end. So we do the best we can, and if we could make it work better, then especially for 911, we certainly would do it. But right now, and that's the main reason that we're not using enhanced services, because it's not reliable with wireless right now. So it's the cell phones work better on island than they would if you were to call off island. It tends to be that way. The testing we did was not successful. It wasn't to the point where reliability that we could adopt it. And until technology improves, we're going to stick with what we have because that works best. But you are right. Cell phones don't always work.
All right, David. Thanks.
Thank you.
Jordan, you have a question?
Okay, I just wanted to add. I think Dave and the report from that Dave and I have submitted probably came after the news we got from the state, but the state has some funding available for public safety, for police actually, to help cover some unexpected expenses due to the COVID-19 pandemic. So this upcoming week, Dave and I will be working to put in an application to try and get some reimbursement for flight costs and some other expenses. So that should help our budget a little bit if we get it approved.
Thanks, Jordan. On what Shirley asked, Dave, can you test a couple cell numbers to the 911? I mean, we don't want people calling in there for no reason, just to see what she's talking about.
Yes, we have done that numerous times, and whether it was with the old 911 system, or whether it was with the new one or the old one, or the one we currently have, it sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. I mean, does anybody have any problem with their cell phone dialing out 100% of the time, and are they able to, whether it's on island or off? Sometimes you dial, it goes through, but the other party can't hear you, or you can't hear them, but it shows that it's connected. That's the problem we're having, it does happen. We have tested it. It is best to use a landline if you can, but that's the reality we're working in, and it's known. So if you can't get through, you do what you have to get contact with emergency services. You have to get in the car and come down to find us or get to a landline and call. So that's just that's the reality of where we're living right now.
All right. Thanks, Dave.
Yeah, this is Emil here.
Go ahead, Emil.
Yeah, I got a text message last week from GCI saying that they had a crew that needed to come out and adjust the satellite. So that might have been part of it before that, why they need to come out and take it out. And it said that 911 calling from landlines should be available, but then 911 calling from mobile phones may be unavailable. So I don't know if that is why they had to come out or if to readjust something there with their satellite. But I got a text message from GCI, a GCI phone here. So that's what I know on that and what I got from that. So that might have something to do with it as well.
I'll tell you what, we'll do some testing on that, and I'll have a report for council next council meeting. The last testing we did was a few months back, and we had done a switchover with the newer with Valdez, and it was just unreliable due to the way the satellite link. It was just not working, and I'd had been working with. Of course, this was at the height of COVID too, so I will get back. We'll investigate this a little bit more, and I'll have a report for next council.
All right, thanks, Dave. Any other questions for Dave? Comments? Thank you. All right, hearing none.
And our EMS and fire folks should be online as well to give their reports.
Okay, we'll move on to the next report then. EMS Chief Carmen Holmberg. Are you there, Carmen?
I am.
Go ahead.
Well, Rescue One had 9 total calls for January, 6 toneouts, 3 medevacs. We received an updated thing of Narcan from the clinic provided by Project Hope, and I'm still in the planning process of setting up a train-in.
All right. Thank you, Carmen. Any questions or comments for Carmen? Okay. Hearing none, we'll move on to the next report. Is by the fire department, fire chief Jason Bjornsted. Are you there, Jason? Jason might not be on. Anyone want to read his report, or I could read it, I guess? Oh, maybe that's him. Jason?
Actually, no, this is Patrick.
Okay, Patrick. All right, we'll go back to the EBSD report there. Patrick Mayer, you can go ahead, Patrick.
Mr. Mayor, so my apologies. I've had difficulties today getting calls, making calls out of my phone and actually the landline. So I finally made it through. So thank you for allowing me to visit with everyone. And I just an update. You know, we can continue our great run of being able to keep schools open. We are something of an anomaly. We continue to be in the state. I received some great feedback from the Public Health Department and the Department of Health and Social Services, you know, regarding our ability to keep the schools open. And we're real proud of that and the collaboration that we continue to have with Eastern Aleutian Tribes and Paul Mueller. So that's great. Just another update. We've released contracts to staff. Almost all have returned theirs. Maybe one yet to come back in. We have very low turnover this year, so it'll be a pretty lean hiring year as we move into our hiring season. But other than that, things are going very well at the site. We're actually training some lifeguards at Sandpoint School right now. Very limited number of students in the pool in anticipation at some point of being able to open the pool back up. So we want to make sure that we have lifeguards in place and trained so that we're able to operate the pool in a safe and a judicious manner. Other than that, we're working on our strategic plan, of which our Smart Start plan will continue to be a part of that, assuming, of course, that this week the legislature makes a decision to move forward in a manner that will support what we're currently doing and taking precautions within the school and our community. So other than that, I don't have a lot, but I'm certainly open to any questions that people might have.
All right, thanks, Patrick. Any questions or comments for Patrick? All right, hearing none. Thanks again, Patrick.
Thank you.
Good. Okay. We'll move on to the next report. I'll give Jason a chance. Is Jason there? Well, his report was kind of short. He's still holding trainings every Sunday at 1 p.m. for anyone that's interested. And then he's been maintaining service and equipment. Continuing to assist with the EMS, but he'll make it for the next. So, okay, we'll move on to the next report.
Excuse me, this is Dave.
Hi, Dave. Go ahead.
Hey, I muted and went on and grabbed my cell phone and dialed 911, and it rang twice, and I got Jesse right away. So, like I said, it works sometimes, but sometimes it doesn't, and it. Shirley's right. It's the landlines are better, but that's where we're at. But again, I'll get back with you guys about any updates in the system.
All right, thanks, Dave. Yeah, the cell phone service has been real bad for a while for me, and I'm not sure how many others. So, thanks. Okay, we'll move on to the next report, which is the Public Works Director, Dave Stokes. Are you there, Dave?
Yes, I'm here. Good evening. As you can see, we've been pretty busy. I'm just got my bearings back in, and we're rocking and rolling. We've been working a lot on this grader, this Cat grader that has the electrical problem. But we fueled buildings and equipment. We're really low on stove oil right now. Hopefully try to get stove oil soon. We worked on the sand truck chains. I ordered more sand or more 50 more links of chain for the sand truck and the garbage truck. They both take the same snow chain. Changed oil in the sand truck. We plowed snow a half a dozen times. One of them was pretty late in the evening one. We fixed the blade on the sand truck. We had a crack. We replaced the grader blades on the Champion grader. We have brand new blades on the Cat grader right now, but I can't get it to run. Block heaters in the trash truck. We had to replace the block heaters and the cord that went to it. Changed the CV shaft and worked on the front end a little bit of the truck that I drive. It needed plugs, wires. And we had to pull a fuel tank out to dump all the stuff out of it. We fixed the water pump on the truck that Julius and Paul drive. We hauled oil to the recycle center to keep him burning. We basically serviced heaters at the shop. On the Cat grader, we worked on that most part of the day. And right now, we've fixed two broken wires. And the problem right now is headed towards the ECM. We may have the ECMs bad. They say that the solenoid that went bad, that we're not getting third and fourth gear, if that solenoid normally goes bad, it takes out the ECM. We've seen that on some forums today. There's a guy that has done 20 ECMs, and he says every time that solenoid on that transmission goes out, it takes out the ECM. We cleaned the metal pile. We disposed some old office papers and burned them. Like I say, we did service the trash truck. Recycle center is running fine, just like always, just like its own machine. And water sewer, we fixed the service line in the upper school loop. What was that, Wade's driveway? It was a service line going to Patrick's house. We fixed the forest main by Village Green. When they initially put the forest main in, they didn't glue it all the way, and the coupling is slid, and there was only a quarter inch of a coupling holding on one portion of a pipe when it came undone. We unplugged sewer line at Johnson Avenue, and we went down Johnson Avenue this last month. We found two main valves so we can isolate six-inch mains, and we found two water services that go to the houses, the valves for them. And we got one more at Murphy's house that we need to find yet. But otherwise, Johnson Avenue, we found all but one six-inch main valve, but it's in the approach coming to the main road. But the approach has got asphalt over it, but we're going to find it. We'll cut a little hole in it and then lift it the service up so we can get at that main valve. It's kind of an important one. It's part of our loop. Otherwise, everything else is going good.
All right, thanks, Dave.
That's all I got.
Thank you. Yeah, any comments or questions for Dave?
This is Shirley. So the recycle center that we have just does glass.
Glass and aluminum.
But who does the aluminum? One of the tribes?
Yes, one of the tribes comes over there and does the aluminum, and we got a cruncher. It crushes them into a block, and then they tie them up. I am not sure, but last time I looked, we had like 15 bales or 20 bales of aluminum that needed to go to Seattle, but that was February last year, so I haven't been in the recycle center lately. But yeah, we do deal with aluminum cans.
All right, thanks, Dave. Thanks, Shirley. I think the Paloff Harbor does something with cans and whatnot. So, any other questions for Dave?
Not questions, just a comment. Dave, you'll probably cringe this time, but it'd sure be nice if when you guys find this stuff, if you could just a simple drawing on a piece of paper and keep it or something, you know. I don't have to tell you nothing about as-built.
Yeah, no, we are, Jack. We're writing them on prints, and we're also bringing them above the surface. So they're sticking three, the main valves themselves, we're trying to stick 3 or 4 inches above ground, and we'll keep them painted. So they should be able to, you know, look at a map and run right to it.
Awesome. Yeah, well, you know the problem. So, yeah, thanks. Good to see you back again, by the way. Talk to you later.
Thanks, Jack.
All right, thanks, Jack. Thanks, Dave. Any other questions for Dave? Comments? All right, hearing none, we'll go on to the next report. It was the Harbor Masters report. Douglas Holmberg, are you there, Doug? All right, Douglas might not be there. On his report, there wasn't much going on. Slow working on the travel lift parts were ordered, and they're flushing the hydraulic systems, and they're rewiring some of the solenoids, is what I saw when I was down there also. And when I came to town, we went over to Alaska Hydraulics, who is in the summer working on our travel lift, and we asked if we can have their hydraulic mechanic to come in and assist with rebuilding the second pump that we're working on, and they agreed they'd do so. So we probably will have their fella there to come in on Friday, hopefully, and go through that. Hopefully this weekend, see what we can lift. But that's all we'd have on that report. And moving on, I don't think the student rep is here tonight. I had an email that is his birthday, I believe. Chance, his birthday, so happy birthday, if that was correct. And so we'll move on to the next item of business, which would be hearings, ordinances, and resolutions. We have one item on there. It is the resolution 2101, extension of emergency of declaration. And the floor to Jordan.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. This is somewhat of a housekeeping item. In the past, the council has passed emergency ordinances authorizing and declaring state of emergency in Sandpoint as it relates to the COVID-19 pandemic. Under state law, these resolutions are only valid for 60 days. So the one that was passed almost 2 months ago is about to expire. So this one will extend the current emergency for 60 days. Along with doing this, it also gives us backup when spending the CARES Act funding. So we can say in our reports that, yes, we still have a declared state of emergency and we're not just spending money for fun at this point.
Great. Thanks, Jordan. Any questions? Or comment? All right, hearing none. Do we have a motion to adopt Resolution 2101, Extension of Emergency Declaration?
This is Marita. I'll make a motion.
All right, we have a motion by Marita. Do we have a second?
It's Alan. I'll second.
All right, thanks, Alan. Any further discussion? Okay, hearing none. Roll call, please, Shannon.
Marita?
Yes.
Amo?
Yes.
Jack?
Yes.
Danny?
Yes.
Alan?
Yes.
Shirley?
Yes.
All right. Motion carries. We'll move on. Next item of business is old business, which there is none. So we'll go on to new business. And the first item on there is the challenge of the state population figure. And I'll hand the floor to Jordan.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The FY22 population for the state, or for Sandpoint, from the state is 880. This number has consistently trended downward for at least 10 years. The decrease in population that's alleged by the state results in less funding to the city for programs like power cost equalization, community revenue sharing, and some shared raw fish taxes. So there's a couple courses of action. If council believes this number to be accurate, there's no action needed. If council wishes, we can conduct a headcount census method that involves going door to door. There's a form the state requires you to fill out for each house. It's a somewhat lengthy process. Or the city can simply accept this year's figure and wait for the 2020 census figures to come out later on this year, probably sometime in the summer. What I've been hearing from the state is that some of the early returns for rural communities have some very unusual population results. So I don't know what they report for Sandpoint. It could be 1,000 people. It could be 800 people. It's just too early to say. So the third option then would be to wait to accept this year's population figure, see what the census says, and go from there next year during the period when you can challenge the state's population determination. So I'm asking council for direction on how to advance with the challenge, if any, for this current year, bearing in mind that it has to be done by April 1st.
All right. Thanks, Jordan. Any questions or comments for Jordan?
This is Marita. I would say if we can find the right person to do the survey door-to-door or whatever works best, I guess, try to do that if possible, I guess.
Thanks, Marita. Any other comments?
Surely, a lot of our residents aren't here for 12 months. They might be here for 3 or 4 or 6, and we're going to have a lot of difficulty getting an accurate count.
All right. Thanks, Shirley. Would you be for the count then, or doing our own count?
You know, if you can get somebody to do it, it's kind of hard with COVID getting somebody to go door to door, because I know the census workers struggled with it.
Oh.
In
spring. Okay.
Good point.
That makes, a lot of sense. Any other comments? Questions?
This is Jack. Seems like we've got some pretty big fish to fry here, and we keep adding things to the plate, and it's going to be another expense. I'm not against the idea of employing another local, but can we really afford that right now? I'm just not sure.
Yep, entirely understandable.
Any other comments?
All right, so I'm not hearing a lot of support for the door-to-door polling, so we'll accept the number this year, wait for the census to come out, and then hopefully we'll be in a better spot financially next year, so that if the census numbers indicate that we do have a higher population, then we can go ahead and plan in advance a count period and notify residents the reason behind the count period, why it's important, and maybe do like a raffle or something to incentivize participation. So that could be ready to go starting January 1 of next year.
All right, thanks, Jordan. Any other comments on the population?
It's Alan. I was just sitting here trying to
I guess I'm kind of neutral at this point as to whether we should go for it, because I, at this time, but it just occurred to me that if the number that comes out later, you know, summertime, let's say it comes out in May or June, the federal census number, we don't like it, that would be a good time to do the door-to-door. You know, hopefully by then enough of us will have been vaccinated, the COVID won't be as big a problem, and you know, our largest local population will all be in town, and of course Trident will be operating, you know, for salmon. So maybe that's a good plan, is to kind of to hold off now and then see how it works out, you know, see what that number looks like and whether we want to invest in it this summer.
All right, sounds good.
Thanks, Alan. Any other comments? All right, hearing none, I guess we'll hold off on, and we'll go with this. Okay, thanks. All right, moving on to the next item on the new business is the Aleutians Eastboro fiscal year 2022, actually, community budget request. I'll give the floor back to Jordan.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. So the borough is doing their annual community budget request process right now. The deadline to apply is March 16th. That will be after our next city council meeting, just so you know. There's a total of $300,000 being allocated amongst the communities in Aleutians Eastboro. The goal of funding from the borough is to either get a project completed or to use the funds to purchase something. They want concrete actions, not just have the money scrolled away somewhere. So while we don't have any you know, equipment to buy that fits in that price range, or any project that's pending, so let's say $100,000 to complete, we are looking at a $281,000 down payment for a new travel lift. So if we apply for $100,000 from the borough, that would take our down payment to about $181,000. So if that's something council recommends, that is what staff will advance on the application.
All right. Thanks, Jordan. Any comments for Jordan?
Yeah, Emil here.
Go ahead, Emil.
Yeah, no, any type of money that we should, I don't know if we need to come up with a specific number amount. I know we don't want to sell ourselves short, but, you know, yeah, look, we could try for 100 or best offer, but I think it should be directed towards that travel lift, so we could try to get as much funding towards that as we possibly can. So that's kind of where I'm kind of wanting to try to throw my chips right now.
All right. Thanks, Emil. Any other comments?
Well, I just kind of have a question, Jim. Did we ever decide? I never did hear on what we're doing with the travel lift, what's going on there. I haven't heard a whole bunch of discussion today about it. Which one, and does the bigger one fit and all that stuff?
Oh, yeah, we didn't really discuss that. That was really going to be a part of our discussion. It probably would have been brought up had Doug been there. But I think we were leaning toward the 150, and I think that's the numbers we're using on the application for the loan and the amount of money at this time.
Okay. Yeah, I wasn't pressing for anything. I was kind of wondering why it wasn't on to discuss. Yeah, no. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Jack.
Jimmy, this is Dave. I'm here in Sandpoint. Our travel lift, I know it's written down as a 150, but when we picked up the camera and tore everything off the top of the travel lift, When they came back with that third sliding straps, and that made our machine not a 150, but a 170.
Okay, thanks, Dave.
Yeah, I think that was kind of our discussion last week, or last meeting, that we were going to stay with the 150, because if we got the 200, we'd really be wanting to lift bigger boats because we had the capacity to do that. So that's why, I mean, the new one, I guess, lifts 10% more than what this old one did, and it did those any boat in the harbor fairly easily when it was up and running correctly. That's what I got out of it.
Yes, thanks. That's pretty much the point we had made there, Emil. Thank you. The Hendrix did give us the same model, 150, would do 10% more on the more modern system. So, and we were actually, and then the 200, you know, it's got that 80,000, 85,000 pounds heavier just on its own, so we're kind of staying with the lighter to be on the dock. So that's what we're basing all our figures on. So any other comments?
Isn't Dave saying that with the third strap in there, it made it a 170? So is 10% more on the 150 that they have? Does that make 170 then?
I think it's about the same, but Moon called it a 165. I'm not sure the exact amount. When I talked to Dave at the Hendrix, he said when you add that forward strap, you actually lose lifting ability. I'm not sure why he told me that, but that was his words. I don't know how he lost. When he added the strap, somehow he was losing lifting ability. I don't know why.
Okay. Yeah, we don't want to sell her so short, but okay, thanks.
We could still, you know, we haven't finalized the loan. We could still look at those numbers. No, but maybe not. But anyway, any other comments on the application for the $100,000 from the borough and where to direct it?
I'd like to see it go towards the travel lift.
Okay, thanks, Jack.
All right, so the consensus seems to be to put it towards the travel lift, and that is how we will submit the application.
All right, thanks. If there's no further comments, we'll move on to the next item there. Discussion on new business would be the cemetery. And we were approached by the Women's Club, which has just restarted, on a project for replacing the fence around the cemetery. Women's Club, which has been helpful in other nonprofit projects around town in the past, took note that the cemetery fence is deteriorating, and a lot of it's already gone, and would like to work with the city to putting up a new fence. And the city would be able to use funds from the Bingo Fund, which is nonprofit, toward this project. And the Women's Club wanted to be involved with the shipping, and they're going to try to get the fencing sent up, hopefully for free, on a Trident vessel or something. But besides that, they're going to raise money with bake sales toward that project. And we're also looking at the new land down past Russiantown that was donated by the Schumigan Corporation, Lot 39. And we're trying to get that started, as the available space in the present cemetery is getting to be toward, you know, steep for getting the diggers in there and stuff. So we're also going to start looking at setting up the new cemetery. So are there any questions or comments on that?
Yes,
hey, Jack,
sounds like a good deal to me.
Thanks, Jack. Go ahead, Emil.
Yeah, no, I think that that'd be a great deal if, you know, I know they got some money as well from grant funds, and, you know, if we pull some of our money together, we'd be able to do that. And it would be nice to see if, you know, we could maybe even get, you know, some wood together or something and maybe make some crosses and map out where people are up there so we know where people are at and loved ones could, you know, come by and know where, you know, the others live, even though most of them are already there, but just to kind of acknowledge and know where everybody's at up there. But, yeah, no, it'd be a good thing, and then, you know, kind of, you know, venture on and move it to a new facility. We're starting to put people on top of people now.
All right. Thanks, Emil.
This is Shirley.
Go ahead, Shirley.
We need some kind of map of that new cemetery because I want to reserve a space over there next to my parents.
Okay, I understand. Thanks, Shirley. Yeah, we're even in the old cemetery. We were working there recently, and you know they'd plotted it off on a chart, but none of it, you know, the graves aren't actually on those plots. It would be nice to have a more organized to where you can do that, be by your loved ones and stuff. So on the new one, we should really try to be, I guess the word be organized, but maybe have staked off or plotted off spot. Any other questions? Comment? All right. Hearing none, move on to public comment. Do we have any comments? All right, hearing none. Do we have any council comments?
It's Jack here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, Jack.
I just like to say thanks to everybody on this putting up with this COVID and stuff. Everybody seemed like they've been doing a good job. And Eats and ABSD to everybody involved here. It seems like maybe things will be starting to get better here in a couple months. So that's all I have.
All right. Thanks, Jack. What, Danny, anybody? Any comments? All right.
I think I've said enough for tonight.
All right. Thanks, Emil. Okay. Hearing no other comments, that concludes our meeting. Except there's okay. Do you get a motion to adjourn?
Make a motion to adjourn, Shirley.
All right. We have a motion by Shirley. Do we have a second?
Second.
All right. Second by Emil. So that concludes our meeting. Thanks, everybody. We are adjourned.
Thank you.